life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we'll be hearing more from Gregory Hay, spirit guide Gregory Hay, that is. And if you would like to join us with a question relating, a general question that is, relating to our topic, do join us with a question. If you have a general question to add to our conversation about life of the universe and everything, anything that you think a spirit guide could help you with, it's not a specific reading style situation, but if you would like to join us, then we'd love to hear from you. If you can, there we are, that's better. Anyway, the phone number in the USA is 877-876-5227, and in Canada is 888-815-9756, and international callers is 001-5308-763222.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mick Avery. Now, welcome everyone, for those of you who just joined us on the wonderful and ever-present and ever-growing bbsradio.com. We're here live every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 6 p.m. GMT, 1 p.m. EST. And if you live anywhere else on the other side of the planet or whatever, sorry, I haven't got time to put all your time signatures out. If you'd like to know more about us or our books or CDs, maybe you'd like an Akashic reading, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And now for those people living in Europe and the UK and that, we're also live on www.mickavery.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. Well, actually, 1723 when he passed. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit together are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us. And then they bring me back to my physical body when the spirit communicator and the team leave. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was that they took me. And it's not in this kind of instance, in this kind of mechanical device that the spirit team use, it's not for me to know where they took me necessarily. Sometimes I might remember, I might get some glimpses of where I've been, but it's not really the issue. And if I fixated my mind about where I was going or what they were going to do with me whilst I was away, it wouldn't be able to happen. It wouldn't take place, because I'd then be attracting my mind to the situation that I might be going through, rather than just letting go and allowing the spirit team really to take over my physical body. So anyway, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, who's going to take, of course, host the rest of the show and deal with everyone's questions, and also questioning spirit, really, because that's what our shows are all about. And she's really good at doing that. Which is just as well, because I won't be here. So, all right, then, bye.
Yes, Gregory Hay is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of many great minds, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because of a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. And they bring us information about the mechanics of the universe and the spirit world and how this affects us and all of us, that is, without exception, and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. So if you have an idea of a topic or a subject you would like us to talk about, you can send that to us, email us at enq@spirit-teaching.com, or you can, as lots of other people have done, and I do have many questions today from some of our listeners, you can actually send me your questions, single sentence questions. I mean, it doesn't matter, single subject, whatever. And I will ask Spirit Gregory for you and see what he has to say. So you can do that at any time, and I will save them up and ask them on a Sunday. I'm gradually getting through them. And that is on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can see find our email on any page, really, ENQ, and that will come to me, and I will get back to you to let you know. So the situations that we bring to you is without religious bias or political persuasion or anything like that, although we do cover all sorts of situations and beliefs, and but our mission is actually to bring just truthful information that is straight from the spirit world through this gift of mediumship to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and hopefully restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. Obviously, that is something that is very topical at the moment. And I think, obviously, Gregory might have something to say when he comes through. I do believe that he is through now. So we'll see what he has to say before we go into the questions.
Yes.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, friend, little bird. Hello. Cheep, cheep.
Cheep, cheep.
Hello, friend. With love and light, blessings as ever. Dear friends, one and all, hello and welcome to our little soiree of words.
Do we have a little prologue about anything today? Do you want to talk about anything before we go into the question?
Yes, my dear friend. I just wanted to touch very briefly upon, there are a number of very touching subjects, I believe, on your side of life, not least withstanding to do with the whole situation of atmospherics and what may be happening on your side of life at this present time within the whole situation of environment, but also, of course, how human beings are actually finding understanding in what is being done in their name, perhaps, or not being done in their name, and then that human beings generally are left to pick up the consequences. Consequential action. It appears to be that to many human beings on physical life that they see and watch and observe other beings who are in power or who are in control of their lives feathering their own nests, lining their own pockets with whatever pieces of silver they are able. And this, of course, is through the generation of taxes and whatever. So you have a great many conditions here where a large number of companies and countries actually exist, and companies too, whereby they are actually taking a great deal of liberty in the form of perhaps we would say part of it is to do with fortune making. Much of it is to do with profit, but also we are observing as well many people in positions of power who are actually taking finances for themselves, lining their own nests in a sense, and in actual fact bankrupting their countries. This is not to do with the fairness of people who are working their whole physical lives in order to ensure that the services for which they work for, or that their part of their earnings goes into support, is simply not being met. Now, it would appear to be that for many of these countries which have poor infrastructural road works or rail works or other forms of links about the country, that you would say that perhaps much of this finances needed to prop up those parts of network and, in a sense, community survival. But the point is that for many human beings, they are seeing their own services eroded, their own networks of community care being driven to the rocks in order to keep other people in the luxury to how they have been used to living. So in many respects, on your side of life, it has nothing to do with any other energies or inference that human beings may have about cataclysmic moments due in the future or whatever, but is really just simply an observation of gradual greed, and that greed coming to roost, in a sense, in the frame of how countries then actually become bankrupt from their own service. And in this respect, it is not, in fact, that people who are working for the whole structure, who are demanding too much or are not actually putting in enough into their community's survival, it is actually because those who are in power are taking too much for their own rites of passage and to feather their own nests with. So these are all situations of serious bankruptcy, in fact, which you are beginning to see countrywide on a nationalistic basis. And notwithstanding, these are matters which will continue to be a part of the fabric of your lives until such time as it becomes, in a sense, that the bubble bursts, and then finally the people within the whole system and situation can actually feel a state of real equilibrium returning to their lives. The only other matter that I have to talk of really briefly, and I will keep it brief, is really to do with the matters of the ongoing calamity within the Gulf of Mexico, due, of course, to, in no small part, to the company that is embroiled in this matter actually refusing the safety procedures that should have been honored by all platforms, not just in that area, but wherever they are, whether in the sea or on land, whether in the frozen Arctic North or whether in luxuriant warmer climes of the tropics. It matters not. Whatever environment these platforms are being placed upon, and that maybe is part of the greatest fear of how perhaps large companies driven to the Amazon rainforest for oil or gas reserves or some such thing, as there is a plentiful supply there, are really more concerned about the environmental hazard consequences of such a task and the complete pollution of such areas and utter devastation of them as well. Notwithstanding, friends, we observe the very many difficulties which will ensue from this problematic instance. It's not a one-off. It is not an isolated incident, and merely is the tip of a very large berg that has potential in respect of particularly where you are dealing with not just deep water situations, but may well, as I say, be equally a problem on land or anywhere else. All of these devices, parts of the industrial basis, if you like, of humanity at work, really do need to have fail-safe devices, environmentally safe devices, that simply mean then that if anything should fail upon the platform, that they can be shut off at the source point.
Okay.
And it's, of course, it's always due to human beings making decisions which are financially more favored to themselves rather than looking at the environmental consequences of what ifs turning up in effect as a consummate program of events happening on the ground.
Mm. It's yes, just to continue on that slightly, I mean, it's amazing to me how we all, on even such a small scale, jump through hoops for health and safety regulations when we do anything. Start a business, but just general things.
Yes.
And yet this has not happened here. It's just bizarre to me. But anyway,
they were even allowed to decline.
Yes, exactly.
I feel myself, my dear friend, it should have been an actual right, this is part of the process you must do, you must commit to if you wish to pull out this hazardous material, volatile hazardous material from beneath the planet. Then these are the consequences, the direction laid down within any given environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you, as human beings, are going to continue within this process, this is what you have to actually insist upon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Thoughts for a day, isn't it?
Really? Yes.
Okay. So we have a slightly lighter subject here.
Yes. Let's
okay. Angels.
Yes, Finn.
Now then. Okay. We have quite a few questions from people to do with angels.
Yes.
Which one shall I start with? Here we are. Actually, I'll tell you what. Why don't we start with you telling us what angels are, first of all?
Well, once again, dear friend, we come back to the law of proximity in order to discuss and understand humans' perception of what beings that they call or cite as angels actually are. When I cite the law of proximity, it's actually because when human beings are in physical form, it will often be that the states of enlightenment or supposed reverie, which comes from a human being wanting to or perhaps seeking or encountering those of the spirit world, of the multiverse, as it were, are always going to be perceived in one light or another. Now, it's not necessarily meant, I understand, that just because a human being sees an angel, that it means that they are Christian. It certainly does not mean necessarily that angels themselves are typecast or bound to Christian value or belief or the whole aura of that religious perspective. Naturally, of course, however, most of the angelic realms and their names are actually cited within various elements of biblical study. So it does bring into question, in a sense, of how many people are actually viewing this as part of that cycle of not necessarily indoctrination, but belief, and how that then actually becomes a part of that life. Maybe for some people, even though they may not be practicing Christians, that they may well actually still cite that or hold that as a value belief system. Maybe even if they do not hold to it on a day-to-day basis or actually practically practice it. So, in a sense, when we look at these kinds of situations, I'm not suggesting here that it's all about illumination, or that in order oftentimes for a human being to perceive of someone in ascension, that means that they're at a greater voice or vibration to themselves, that they will always come through as a specific deity. Likewise, my dear friend, it may well be that that to some people in various Indian customs, that they would see Shiva and not an angel. It may well be that they see some other notable, how can I say this, notable plaintiff, notable icon, in a sense. Some people may well cite that they've seen Buddha. And I dare say that is possible. Mm-hmm. Because, as I am understanding, Buddha himself, God praise his name, is, in actual fact, has been seen on a number of occasions, a great many, in fact, around the planet. So too has Jesus, I understand, and also so too has the Virgin Mary and Mary Magdalene and various other deities and beings who are lauded as because of the structure and way of their physical life and the remembrance of that life. When human beings actually think about angels, they're not necessarily beings who ever had a physical life. So in this term, it means that what you are looking at is the structural deity of a religious practice, is not necessarily a structure of the universe. So in other words, then, this is a Christian principle. This is a, and I'm talking about generalistically, so that takes up about a third of the planet's human beings who have that as the central platform of their belief system. So this means to say then that within this situation, you are seeing that all of these billion or so, 2 billion or so souls who have this way of understanding or indoctrination are actually using their energy towards the universe in order to create this function and this state of well-being. So naturally enough, there are going to be those deities for which stories have been illuminated for various purposes and various ways by the noted monks and abbots and clergy from thousands of years. And all of these beings, in how and whatever structure, are in a sense creating not the energy of these beings or the beings themselves, but the attraction to them. So oftentimes what happens is that for the purposes of those in the multiverse, not of physical life, it means that it's not a sense of a ripe opportunity for them to present some sort of garb and then feel that that is perhaps then acceptable for them to come and communicate. So the garb may not be of the illuminated angel that the human person, because they're actually coming from the fabric of the universe that is physical, and because of the problems that can inherently exist when a person, a being of a spirit nature, is having a physical existence, it means because of the law of proximity, they are in effect citing what they wish to see, or citing the creation of this in a different multi-level. So then we actually see that people who are attracted to angel, Archangel Gabriel, or however, or Archangel Michael, or whatever, is the attraction of the symbolism of that energy. That doesn't mean to say necessarily that being actually exists. So because of the law of proximity, when human beings are in physical state, they can attract energy to a certain state, particularly where love is involved, whereby that energy is actually formulated and becomes in a sense, an access point to the universe or to the multiverse, particularly in situations or messages of guidance. That doesn't mean to say that it's a usurper. It doesn't mean to say that it's a being who is not all-loving or not all-encompassing or all-being. except for the fact that I have seen a great many and observed a great many of these situations, and the indications are all appear to be that for many of them, or most, that they are speaking exactly the same language, and that language is not necessarily in the same state of loving givenness and harmony, but rather in a state of manipulation. So that does not mean to say that everything has to be misquoted, or that I am dismissing everything, but I am saying that human beings have to understand much more about the molecular layers of different situations of which they may aspire to make. That means not necessarily that a human being having a religious experience or an understanding of communication with an angelic realm, particularly archangels, generally tends to come from their own specific egotistical state. I understand that in the 17th century and before then, there were very rare glimpses of the angelic realms, because it wasn't actually observed generally that human beings could make that kind of contact. It would only necessarily be perhaps the clergy who were able to do that, because they always professed to be the link between themselves and Jesus or God. That meant that lowly folk of physical earth were not allowed to make that assumption or bring that as a primary of their possibility of the actions of the mind. So that means to say then that the whole situation is oftentimes, in a sense, throughout the domination of how human beings think that they have then transcended the mortal physical world, and of course raised the vibration of all beings because of this communication status. And I understand that, particularly with the need for humanity to raise their game, to be able to raise their vibration en masse so that they become more loving and more giving and move away from the violence and antagonism and vengeful acts of deep negativity that are often associated with the wars of the world, which had been in advancement for the last 5,000-6,000 years. In a sense, it's enabling having these forms of communication with these angelic realms. It is, in a sense, enabling human physical beings to become perhaps a little more loving and perhaps a little more endearing and harmonic, using a different form and basis of practice, perhaps, within their physical life, and that actually transcending the physical life so that their activities and actions are more kind, more progressive, more positive.
Okay, so a lot of it, actually started, it's to do with religion, as often happens, something, and then it sort of gets a knock-on effect from that.
Yes.
So in a way, it can segregate people and different races and faiths and that sort of thing, can't it?
Yes, and
I'm
not just merely saying that for the last 300 years or something like that. I'm saying that actually way back beyond the year 1000 BC, there were still people, priestesses, priests, who were alluding to communication with the ether world dynamic or with angelic realms, who then held them in a higher esteem. That was their power base. That was exactly how they were able to command such power and create such control over vast numbers of human beings.
Mm. Well, yes, but we all want to think that we are communicating with energies of higher purity.
Yes, of course. I understand that.
So,
absolutely so.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose there's just different, there's grey areas and everything, and as
yes.
There are in this as well.
Yes, yes.
So We do have to be careful, yes. But
yes, of course.
Okay, well, I'll run through.
I'm not trying to tread on too many toes, Finn.
But we just have to. We have to stay grounded, even though it's a wonderful. It's a wonderful thought.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
The angelic
so.
Realm, and we do hope that when we do pass, that we do see some angels, and I mean that's what we want. It's comforting. Isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and also of course deeply loving. If it helps human beings to attract love to themselves, to create identity, to create different actions and movement, to create different decision making, and change that person's judgment for perhaps doing things which are more positive, loving, and giving to the heart. Harmony of the world, then isn't that a better thing to do? It doesn't matter whether they're real or not.
Well, no, exactly. But the thing is, it sort of limits it as well, limits our ideas of that everything has to revolve around the earth. Sort of
absolutely. Well, know, that's true too, yes. Mm. That's really what I'm saying, because Christianity and all that encompasses, as well as all other religions, of course, are limited to just being holistically about the planet Earth, where there are trillions and billions of galaxies throughout the known universe of physical state, but also throughout the millions of universes of non-physical state or of different physical vibration which exist in the multiverse. So how does that mean to say that they too have the same angels that exist in human form with wings? Mm. Or does it mean that they too have their own deities? Of course they do, yes. Mm.
Well, after some of these questions, I want you to tell me about specific energies in the ether world dynamic, in the all of these other universes that you talk about, and the spirit world, obviously, which is what we call the ether world dynamic, is everything, isn't it?
It's like, yes, perhaps an easier word for that would be the multiverse.
Okay. So I want you to tell me about some of these different energies that that we might actually confuse with that situation that actually haven't anything to do with the earth plane, probably. But anyway, I just want to go through some of these questions.
Yes, yes, let's
and
do
help
that.
Some of these people.
Yes, yes, absolutely so.
Okay. Simone in Seattle. I have heard you can ask angels for help wherever you are when you think of it, in the car, in the shower, or even in the toilet. Can you give me your views on this, please?
Yes, I would say, Simone, to begin with, that is very endearing to have that as a sort of a promise for you. However, I would say that it is something which is, on the one hand, viable. Yes, you could do that, perhaps. But do you really want to have someone helping you whilst you're on the toilet?
I know. So I thought, well, I'm going to say it because it was a question.
If there is some bodily function that you have that you are having problems with, you don't want to be asking angels. You want to see a medical practitioner. On the other hand, of course, if it's actually that, in a sense, it's like saying, whatever I do, is it all right for me to ask or communicate with angels? The point is, let's talk about then, what is it that you're actually doing? I mean to say, if you are willing to talk with angels, that means you have a specific in mind of a type of energy you are wishing to communicate with. That doesn't mean to say that just because you put that out there, that that's what you're going to get. Purely and simply because part of the situation is that you are opening yourself up to the universe. In a blanket term, you may have cited that what you want to do is communicate with angels, and it may well be that a being communicates with you in response to that, but it doesn't necessarily mean to say that they're angels. Now, I am well aware that there are those human beings on physical life who will say that whatever you cite is what you will get. Then, and not to worry about negative energies or any of that kind of thing, because they wouldn't even come near you. And anyway, if they did, you would just say 1, 2, 3, and they're gone. Which is actually extremely dangerous, extremely unconnected, and completely wrong footing for you as a human physical being, having a physical life. As a being of the physical world and of the multiverse, it means that if you send something out, a thought or a deed or a request. Perhaps you're sending it purposefully to the angelic realms. It may well be that because you have given of a great deal of love and affection, coupled with this message and with this sense and feeling that you've sent out from your heart, from your solar plexus, from your being or physical energy, you are possibly sending it out, of course, via your spirit. Or at least you have intoned in such a way that because you have done that, it has gone out to the universe via your spirit, maybe. Maybe not. It may be just purely and simply it went out from your physical beingness, like as though being sent out through your auric field. And that means that the potential can become, not that you engage with the lower realms as in such, almost like going up and down in a lift to, okay, very well, so perhaps at times when you aren't feeling that bright and you perhaps feel a bit negative or some such thing from a particular thought, action or activity that has happened to you that day, that out of desperation you're sending out to the angelic realms. And it may be that that's not where you've connected to. Even though the personal being that comes back in response to you, and it may well be quite quickly, it may even be that you've done this in order to park your car properly, or something like that, or to perhaps aspire the universe to make sure that you have an empty lift when wanting to get to the top floor of a high-rise building, or something like that. All of these situations are, in a sense, desperate measures and mean that you are opening up to the universe unsolicited in a way that means that you have not actually got rid of or subjectively composed the energy around you.
Unprotected.
So it means to say, and I know that there will be very many people who will cite, but you're always protected if you're working in the light and all of that stuff. Then it means that automatically you are always protected. And I'm saying that is not the case. And it doesn't matter how many guides you have, or how many of the highest and best you may have, or whether you have angelics working with you, or archangels this or that working with you. In an everyday situation, what it really means is that what you have to construct is something of an understanding, that you don't open yourself up to all and sundry or to any given situation that may befall you in physical life as an immediate response to it. For example, it may be that if you are desperate to park your car neatly because you are unable to do that physically, perhaps for you to actually find the right place to park it, then simply put, all that you are doing is using frivolous contact with the ether world. And that in itself means that you are prone to attracting other energies you actually don't want. And they will quite readily present themselves as angels with wings, gold-plated beings. They will quite readily garland their energy, maybe even from someone else that they've borrowed their energy from, in order to illuminate something that's different, that's not actually them. So the way to actually carry about this is not necessarily that as you pore over books of the angelic realms and gain understanding as to who you want to attract for what purpose or whatever that is, that in actual fact that what's happening is not just a figurative placebo effects of the mind willing into the universe that's how they respond. Not necessarily that the responses that you get are either logical or active or fact. Part of what you are doing is in effect opening yourself up to all kinds of energies, potentially. I'm not saying, dear friend, that that's necessarily your wish or your command, or that's not necessarily what you want to do, but that unfortunately, because many people on your side of life who are, so say, expert in this field of understanding, that they're saying or teaching within their scripts that that this is a plausible activity to create and that nothing will ever harm you because you could do this, how long will it last before you actually attract some energy unwittingly and that you won't know that it's that energy, but purely and simply after a while of contact and then emergent control of your energy, that is when you begin to feel uncomfortable, and that is also when they can then create the imbalance both of mind and body.
Okay. Well, obviously it does work for some people, and that is the thing, I think.
It's temporary.
The thing is, it's to do with the individual person and what's going on in their life. And
absolutely.
How their energy is. If they are immersed in a negative life, very negative life, surrounded by negative people, in a negative place where they live, environment, etc.
Yes, hostile or whatever. Yeah.
Then, you know, sending out their thoughts and in this way probably is not a good idea without working on their energy first and changing a lot of circumstances to do with their life before they do that.
Yes, so that's what I would really say and suggest in this respect, is that instead of just sending out and latching onto this as a leapfrog way or moment of moving across the
desperation,
the way that you then develop your energy, it's like in a sense, it means I can forget roots 8 and 9 because they don't apply to me, because I can use the angelic realms in order to hop over them, and so that your development is not something of a continual process, but rather something that you just, I want the quickest way to do this. Rather than actually putting in the understanding and fleshing out the actual makeup of it. It's a bit like God creating a horse, but forgetting to put the skeleton inside the horse.
See, the thing is, there are people, and I have another one here, from this is from Nicola in California.
Yes, yes.
This is a classic example. I have seen advertised a day course to become an angel mentor, how to offer angel guidance and wisdom as part of a business or career path, assisting others.
I see.
I will gain a certification and my name will be added to a larger body of light workers' website as an angel mentor or therapist. Now, you know, apart from stating the obvious here, doing this in a day, it's all very well, isn't it? As well for somebody who is maybe very successful, has plenty of money, has a lot of things going, lives in a nice place, etc., probably has a nice life. And actually, I do know where this came from because I looked it up, and this person is quite famous who is doing this. It's all very well for them to say that they're working with the angelic realm, but somebody who is, like I say, you know, in a negative situation, to be opening themselves up to do this sort of thing and to be fooled into this I think it's awful, really.
Yes, I understand.
And dangerous.
So Rome was built in a day then, apparently. And if you're a mentor for the angels, doesn't that mean surely that you're actually mentoring angels to communicate with human beings rather than the other way around?
I mean, you can't even call a day course a course, can you? I mean,
no, absolutely not. It's like a page in a book. It's not even something that would be worth considering. If you were doing it, my dear friend, for a year or two, then I would say that it was maybe a worthwhile course to make.
Absolutely, because you would have learnt.
You'll have learnt something.
Pitfalls and that.
Yes,
sort of thing.
And everything else to do with it, and also the factual fabric of it, and the actual mechanics of what is taking place, rather than hearsay evidence and placebo enjoyment, coming from an instructor who is actually more interested in the financial conquests of your wallet, friend.
So basically, okay, I won't go on. There is another one from somebody
no,
else.
No, absolutely. But
I think we've covered it all in here, actually.
In a sense, you see, it is so difficult, friend, because you have people who make names for themselves. Mm-hmm. What does that really mean? Do they mean to say that they're making themselves a name because it's something that has never been talked about before? Or is it that they're making themselves a name on a subject that wasn't previously popularist, but that became that way because they'd attracted attention to it and made it then easily accessible by the way in which they fabricated a form of interaction, supposedly, with this state or with this energy or with this ascended being or enclave of ascended beings that would then become more accessible. And then, in a sense, prove the whole dynamic working purely because a lot of people do it rather than it actually being a fabric of factual energy.
So, Lisa in London actually has a question. How do I become attuned to the angelic vibration? So, obviously, what we've just been talking about is... I'm actually sort of, that's null and void, that question, really. She'll have been listening to this. But so can you tell us, there must be angelic beings as we imagine them, as human beings imagine them, in the spirit world, in the, excuse me.
Think something, little bird.
Can you carry on?
That's quite all right. No, I'll just wait. Just drink something and clear yourself. A frog you have swallowed, I believe.
Yes. So, you know, are there beings that we can attune our vibration to? Excuse me, not to communicate with, but in order to purify our energy?
Yes.
Raise our vibration.
Yes, well, the problem is that human beings always think that they're this lower caste. That it means that human beings in physical life always have to attune themselves to some loving vibrational energy they have already raised upon a specific platform or pedestal that is the pinnacle of where they think they want their energy to be. This is all about, once again, the law of proximity, because human beings in physical life think that they, because they have been told oftentimes enough that because you're in the physical side of life, you must be low. You must be of a low energy. Or because you are having a physical life experience, then perhaps you are not quite in touch with those other energies. Therefore, you need to be so via someone else who has already created this ascendancy or has already manipulated themselves, their power base, and others around them into thinking that they are better than they are. Higher vibration. More loving? No, just a higher vibration. Perhaps that they will spout various different kinds of apostolates or whatever that then illuminate this being a beautiful being. For example, like the apostles or whatever, perhaps those members of beings who are of the Council of Twelve. However you recall this to be, it will be that you ascend this as being the pathway to get closer to God. It's a bit like the persons in the Middle Ages who used to put a great deal of money into the churches, simply buying and building new naves for a particular church or various different little places where they could sit as a family, and the ornate screens would keep them apart from the general mass, the general populace who came and to pray in that particular place. And of course, all of these chanceries, all of these places were actually built off the central aisle and closest to the altars. That meant that they would then be closest to God. That's exactly the same kind of hierarchy that you're talking about now. In respect of that, in a sense, it means that what I'm saying is that every single being in physical life, regardless of who they are, regardless of whether they're in great poverty of mind or physical body, whether they are financially desperate or destitute. It matters not. The physical being that you are is just one step away, in a sense, from enlightenment. And that form of enlightenment is to do with your capture of the energy of illuminosity that comes from realization that you are just one step away. And from that basis means that you do not have to aspire or allude to someone who professes to show the way. Purely and simply, that if you aspire to do that, you are lessening your own energy. You're taking your energy away. You're saying you are not worthy of. I will go to someone who is not necessarily a teacher, but someone who aspires to be better than me or closer than me. I am not saying that I am better than you. I am saying we are all equal in the eyes and light of God. And that means to say that each and every one of us may take that simple step and do away with the forms and bases of physical hierarchy, in a sense, which then take power away from you as physical beings. And that means simply by understanding that because you are a beautiful being within yourself, you may not have the attitude of that, but it's still who you are. That you can actually cross the veil between your physical clumsiness or ugliness or your physical downtrodden state, negativity, however that manifests. It's a mind issue. It's a mind control situation that is of the physical stuff. You can become happy with one step. Connect with your beautiful spirit. Your beautiful spirit is just as pure as any of those of the angelic realms. I know there are many people who here will disagree on the physical side of life, and I've had many abutments of this within the ether world dynamic too, and within all aspects and avenues of the multiverse. There are many who will attest to human physical failure purely and simply because they've allowed power to be taken from them and usurped by those who wish to retain it for themselves. So I'm saying to you, dear friend, you have the power within yourself to become ultimately enlightened and as beautiful as any angel. And it may not be that, and in attaining that you vanish on the spot. It may not be that you necessarily look any different to yourself in the mirror, except when you come to understand that within this pure state of being, you are actually have just with that one step raised your vibration to absolute purity, which means that the question would never arise, ever. And that would be because you would already be in the purest state of happiness and bliss. And then it would mean that whatever happened or befell you or the people around you, you would do your utmost power within the service of others to help them. You would do your utmost power within the service of yourself to help yourself. Not necessarily does that mean that you have to learn from someone else who professes to know more than you, or to have become more enlightened than you are because of the laudits and plaudits for their name. They may have obtained it through false pretenses. They may have obtained it through false promises and routes that actually have no basis in neither logic or factual mechanics of the multiverse.
So we all want to communicate with a loving energy, and that is something that obviously that we all aspire to do, and we all
yes.
do have guides and doorkeepers and that sort of thing.
Yes, yes.
Who are loving energies.
Yes.
And we all want to aspire to be better and to reach for something, because that's the human way of doing it.
Of course, yes.
So basically we need to go within and communicate with our spirit, and to know that hopefully that just with the pureness of your mind and thoughts, then this going out to the ether world will help those, whatever we call them, that are trying to help us on the earth plane to use that energy to work with, to enable us to go forward in a more peaceful fashion.
Yes, that would be quite lovely.
And I think that's the other thing. It's the comfort that we get from things. It's just getting things into perspective and being sensible and keeping grounded about it and doing things sensibly.
Yes,
and realistic. Be realistic.
Yes,
it sounds a bit too far-fetched and too good to be true.
It probably is.
It probably is. We have to go now, Gregory. We
really?
I know, didn't that get...
My dear friend. Remember, dear friend, it is your energy within that actually operates the whole scenario. Connect with your beautiful, loving being within you, and then you will see exactly what I mean.
Thank you.
God be with you, dear friends. God bless.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for listening and for your questions, and don't forget, send them in and I will read them out for you. My name is Sylvie Avery and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful BBS Radio. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.